Thank you. Good morning. You know, I've been here many times and spoke at a church in your South Bay branch, and every time I come, there's always a fresh word from the Lord. And I come not just to preach, but, you know, there's a mission, an assignment that God gives us. You know, every person has a purpose. Every person has a destiny. Amen? So, you know, you understand the purpose of God, then you fight for your destiny. And that's why we're here. We're not here by accident. God created us for a purpose. And so it's not so much, you know, the question is whether God is doing something. It's the question, what is it that God wants you to do? Because God has already has a plan and a purpose. And how do we align with that purpose and plan? God doesn't just make up his plan, you know, and in some kind of an abrupt, or in a moment type of thing. There is a predestined plan of God for nations, for individuals, for churches, for community. Amen. And the most important thing in life is that how do we align ourselves with God's plan? And when God created man and woman, he created them for a purpose. He said, go and multiply, take dominion, replenish the earth, and subdue the earth. When he created the world, he had a purpose. What was God's purpose for God's creation? And sometimes I think we don't understand the overall plan of God, and that's why we get lost. The Bible says that without vision, the people perish. Right? Without vision. What does it mean? It means without understanding God's plan, people go off unrestrained. Or they go on different directions. So people will do what they want to do because they don't understand the objective, plan, mission of God. Right? They perish. So we have that. We have a world that is lost because of sin, of rebellion. Sin, in defining in Scripture, is not just doing something bad. It's actually rebellion against the will of God. God has his plan for you, and you go this way. God says go straight, and you go left. God goes straight, and you go right. It's rebellion that says, God, I don't need your plan. I want to do my own thing. And the Bible says there are plans that seems right to a man or a woman. They think it's right. Like the culture we have today, especially in Gen Z, Gen Y generation, you ask them what they want to do, they say, well, you know, why do what I feel like doing? Right? And so they make mistakes because they don't understand the purpose why they were created. And so, even Christians, we wonder in our life and we try to make things happen and then we fail and we ask God, why did we fail? Well, because we do something out of the will of God. So there's sin right to amend, but the end of your plan leads to death. So, in the book of Leviticus, I think the last verse, it says, everybody did what was right in their own eyes. Like, if you feel, you know, they call right wrong, they call wrong right. Right? That reflects society we have today. Because there's no basis of truth. There's no basis of standard. They're lost. They don't understand God's plan. Right? So they perish. And that reflects of what we are today, here, globally. Everyone in the world searching for purpose. Everyone in the world searching for destiny. Doesn't matter whether you are old or young. You want to know, what is my purpose? why I'm being here. You have, there are questions that man must answer. So one is, who am I? Who am I? Question is, where am I from? Like, who am I is a very important question. What? Who am I? And that isn't always talked about, you know, your personality. It talks about who created you and what was the purpose why God created you. If we don't understand that we're created in the image and likeness of God, then there will be an identity issues in our lives. That's why people want to be man, even though they're woman, and they're woman, they want to be a man, or they want to be do something, whatever they want to feel like doing. You understand?
Yes.
Because people are lost. And whenever they're lost, they do things outside of the will of God. Outside of God's design plan. The Bible says, God created man according to his image and likeness. He created male and female. Right? He created them. And he said, go and multiply, take them and replenish the earth. So if there's no basis of truth, then everybody will make their own truth. You understand? If there's no absolute, everything becomes relative. What does it mean? Absolute means there is an absolute truth. And what is that basis of truth? The Word of God. Amen? God's Word is truth. And you cannot change the Word of God to fit what you feel. When God says He created the birds of the air, you can't say, oh, God created the monsters of the air. Because that's not what is written in the Bible. It's written, He created the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, right? So God created everything with a purpose. He didn't create everything by mistake and say, I'm going to create something and you just call it like how you want to call it. Right? Can you imagine God created a dog and man says, you're not a dog, you're a fish. That would be, the dog would be confused. The dog will not walk, he will try to swim and drown. And that's what people do today. They will do things God never created them to do. They do things out of God's will, and then they end up dying or losing everything. Amen? So we're created by God for a purpose, and a purpose designed for every one of us. You cannot be like anybody, because everybody is unique in the eyes of God. Amen. You cannot be like anybody. You cannot watch TV and say, I want to be like Justin Bieber or Taylor Swift. You cannot be like them because they're created for a purpose, and you're created for a different purpose. Amen. Just like Chinese Americans, just like Taiwanese Americans, you came here out of coming from different places, migrated here 30, 40, 50 years ago, and you come to a nation and you're here for what purpose? To live a good life? Yes, but that's not the overall plan. That is what you call part of God's plan. That's your benefit. Right? There's a benefit being a child of God is prosperity. But that's not the main objective of God. Right? So your benefits. We're enjoying the benefits. The Bible says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not His benefits when He heals our diseases. Right? But He heals our diseases, a crown of life with compassion. But those are benefits. But the benefits of what? The benefits of knowing Jesus. Amen. When you know Jesus, you benefit, you benefactor, and plus part of the benefit is you get healed. You get delivered. You get set free. But we focus on the benefit rather than the purpose. You understand? Seek ye first the kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So we say, we seek things. We pursue things. It says, no, things come when you pursue kingdom, His kingdom. Then the benefit comes. So we're brought into a nation, and you adopted, you became an American. Once you become an American, you are married to the land. And once you're married to the land, then you have obligated to fight for the destiny and the plan of God for the nation. You understand? If a person, if I would, you know, if I am a person, I come to this country, and then I become an American citizen, and then I will fight for, let's say, Korea. I'll fight for Korea, where you're no longer legal and recognized to fight for Korea because you're no longer a citizen of that country. You understand? Because you have pledged allegiance to a country, a nation, and whatever nation you pledge allegiance to become part of. Like, for example, the children of Israel. Abraham left the land of Ur. And God said, I will lead you to a country, a city, whose maker and builder is the Lord. What was that country? Israel. Right? So when Israel and Abraham get into the promised land, what did they say? Oh, we will stand and believe God for the land of Ur. Right? We will pray for Ur, bless the Ur, bless Ur, the country where we came from. No. The moment they moved to Israel, they prayed, Lord, bless this land that you have given us, the land of promise. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So when God brought you here, it's not by accident. Amen.
Amen.
You are an American. Come from a Chinese background. And you're connected to the destiny of this nation. Because every nation has a purpose of God. Every nation has a destiny. Amen?
Amen?
And when you're connected to a nation, you're contended to the destiny of that nation, and you fight and say, God, I'm in America. And what you do? You pray, let your kingdom come.
Amen.
Let your will be done.
Amen.
In America. And when you live in California, but part of California, San Jose, and those are the territories and the area where God's given you assignment to contend.
Amen.
And to believe that His purpose and His will be accomplished in a region where you, and a country where you became part of. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And until now, the Jews fight for Israel. Jews that came from Europe, they don't say, I am fighting for Germany. Why? Because they know they were created as Jews, and the land that was given to them is Israel. So they're contending, Lord, for Israel, for the Messiah to come. But you and I, we have to understand that. Doesn't matter whether you're Chinese, you're Korean, you're Filipino. God brought you to this land called America because God has a purpose for this nation to a beacon. To be a place of revival.
Amen.
To be a nation under God.
Amen.
That will glorify God.
Amen.
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 And you say, God, we are part of the process and the purpose and the destiny of this nation.
Amen.
We don't say it's a white problem. It's a black problem. It's a Hispanic problem. If something happens, I go back to Taiwan. Well, you're not a citizen of Taiwan anymore. You don't have authority. You don't have jurisdiction. They don't even recognize you there. They recognize your faith, but in legality, you're not recognized. You don't have rights there anymore if you're an American. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry to break it to you guys. But you have no choice but to say, God, let your kingdom come over this nation. Whatever happens to this nation affects you, your family, your children, and the future of your family.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's why we contend for it. Amen. I don't know why a pastor have a different sermon, but I don't know why I start preaching on this. By the Spirit of the Lord. So I believe there's a congregation, a remnant. Not every member of a Christian faith understands the purpose. Not everybody on Sunday morning, including the mega 1,000-member church, just because they're full doesn't mean they're doing what God called them to do. They have a church, they have a service, but are they doing the will of God? Remember when God, when Jesus was approached by people. He said, Jesus, did we not prophesy in your name? Jesus, we cast out devils in your name, Jesus. We healed the sick in your name. We did all of that in your name. Jesus said, away from me, you workers of evil. What? Why would Jesus rebuke them? That shows you the gift doesn't always, just because you have that gift doesn't mean God approves of it. Right? Why not to prophesy, but you can use your prophecy to manipulate people. Amen. God gives you the ability to make money. Oh, God's blessing me to make money. Yeah, but what do you do with your money? You advance the kingdom of God, or you buy another Hermes, or another brand new car, or you know what I'm talking about. Every bit ability that God's given us, we use it for the purpose of God. How are we doing with the translation back there? There's so much we can talk about. And so that leads the gifts and the callings of God are without end. Yes, if we do it according to His purpose. Amen.
Amen.
Right? You know, when we sing a beautiful song, sometimes I fear whether we understand the lyrics of those beautiful songs. Like the song, the old song, I surrender all. I surrender all. What time is our lunch? All to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. And it goes deeper. All to Jesus I surrender. Honey, God tell you to give to mission. No, that's not into mission. We got more things that we have to pay for. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. God says, you know what the lyrics of that song? You ask me to surrender all, and then amen. Say with me, your kingdom come.
Your will be done.
On earth as it is in heaven. Amen. You see, we have to understand the overall mission of God, why He created man. God, who is King of Kings, Lord of Lords, lives in a kingdom at His invisible kingdom called heaven. And He is their King. He is Lord. He has angels and people at His command. Amen? And God says, well, I want to build a family. And I want to extend my kingdom. I want to expand my kingdom from heaven. I'm going to create another kingdom for my children. You know what he did? He created the earth. And he made earth an extension of his kingdom. Amen. And he said, son, go and multiply, take dominion, replenish the earth, multiply, subdue it, and create a people. Create a people for my purpose, for my glory. That was his extension. He wants to extend the kingdom, and he wants you and I, sons and daughters of God, to rule and reign, his children to rule and reign on earth. The Bible says in Psalms, I think 14 says, the earth belongs to God. But the earth, I mean the heavens belong to God. That's what the Bible says. But the earth, I have created it for my sons and daughters. Amen. How many know that your gifts, your prophecy, your healing, your anointing, your gift will not work in heaven? Heaven doesn't need it anymore. And but when I get to heaven, I will be a good Christian. I will exercise all my gifts. I will be more involved. I will be more active when I get to heaven. Things don't mean it in heaven. Everything in heaven is perfect. No preaching in heaven. No pastoring in heaven. No evangelism in heaven. You don't say, I'm an evangelist on earth. And you, here in heaven, I want to evangelize to believe in Jesus. First of all, the reason why I'm here is because I'm a believer. So the gift and the callings of God, the purpose of it, so that you can expand his kingdom on the earth as a tool. Amen. I know I'm all over because I got so much things I want to share. We'll be here for 40 days. Pastor said, Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days. He created man and he put you here, and the Bible says, have what? Dominion, authority over the earth. You're in charge. Heaven, I'm in charge. Don't take that away from me. Amen? That's why God is always making sure the Chinese understand that, because when they get to heaven, Chinese tend to become told want to control everything. Jesus, we'll talk to Peter and see if we can put a tollway and a fee before everybody comes into heaven here. No. So God extended, and you and I are God's children to create an expansion of his kingdom. But guess what? Adam and Eve fell, and we lost that dominion authority, and the devil took it from Adam and Eve. And the reason why Jesus came is to what? To restore what we lost. Amen? How many know we did not lose heaven? Heaven is not lost. Heaven is still there. Amen. We didn't lose heaven. We lose authority in the earth. We lost the kingdom of God in the earth. Amen. Why is he contending for heaven? Heaven is already there. When you got to go to heaven. But God is saying, you did not lose heaven. You lost the earth. Amen. And God is saying, he wants you and I to do what? To establish his kingdom on the earth. That's why Jesus prayed, taught the disciples how to pray. Pray this way. Our Father in heaven, take you to heaven. Right? What did we pray to? Why don't we pray like that? Our Father in heaven, please take you to heaven. Jesus prayed, our Father who art in heaven, that's your kingdom, you're King of Kings, you rule and reign in heaven. Holy be your name. Lord, please let your kingdom come here on earth, because we lost
the wages of sin leads to death. Chaos brought in. Sin brought in death. Man is lost, killing one another. And Jesus Christ came to seek and to save which was lost. And I will tell people, the church in America, all over the world, is trying to get out of the world. Lord, rapture! Jesus said, I'm trying, you're trying to leave, I'm trying to return. You pray, Lord, take me out. Jesus said, I'm going back. Jesus said, when I return in the earth, will I find faithful men and women? What happens if we all say, God, rapture, take me out. Ready, 1, 2, 3. He-Man. Mighty Thor. Let's go up. And on our way to heaven, we see Jesus coming down. Hi, Jesus. Where are you going, Jesus? Back to earth. To help you establish the kingdom there. Oh, what about you? Oh, Jesus, we're going up there to find you. Jesus said, okay, we'll see you back. Amen. Amen. We got it all wrong. We got our doctrines wrong. Because that's why the churches are so afraid. Pastors of big churches are afraid because they don't believe that there's future here on earth. That they're in the past. Oh, you know, Sunday morning, they just sing, oh, to Jesus I surrender. Give them out the call. Everybody wants to receive Jesus and want to go to heaven, come to the front. And everybody runs. Oh, now receive Jesus. Come to my life. Be my Savior and Lord. Amen. Did you think that the mission of Jesus? Is that the only mission of Jesus? That was it, right? The moment you said, I receive you as my Savior and Lord, Jesus said, I've accomplished my mission. Now you're dead. You're saved already. Now you've got no purpose anymore for you to be on earth. That's it. Why are you still here after you get saved? Right? The pastor says, now that you're born again, you're filled with the Holy Spirit, Jesus is coming back. 20 years later, Jesus hasn't come back. Right? Oh, he's coming back soon! Yes, we want Jesus to come back. And then we get old. Jesus isn't coming back yet. How do you know God will not return until he's fulfilled all his plan? Right? Can you imagine Jesus saying, hey guys, I have to admit, I cannot fulfill my promise for Israel and you. I give up. You're on your own. Amen. That's why when people go to church, they admit Jesus, accept Jesus, and the pastor said, you are born again, you're going to heaven. Praise God, I'm going to heaven. In the next 50 years, just suffer and be miserable, okay? Because Jesus is not coming. And I'm not sure yet. But you're born again. You know Jesus. You're the eternal life. Maybe 50 years, 70 years, you will suffer, be miserable, be sick, you know. Okay? But that's what we're telling people in our pulpits. We don't tell them, go take dominion, take back what you lost, take back the authority, take back your city, take back your state, take back your nation. Amen. revival. That's revival. Amen.
Amen.
When God's people take authority back.
Amen.
When His kingdom comes, His will be done. When the ordinances of the city will glorify God. Amen. When man becomes man and woman becomes woman. No confusion. People nowadays, pastors, don't say that. Why? It's in the Bible. Don't say that. No, I'm preaching the Bible. The last time I know, we're protected by our First Amendment. Last time I know, we're the land of the free, our home of the brave. You know, Elon Musk was interviewed lately by a reporter. You seen that? Elon Musk said, the problem with you, liberal reporters, you get it all wrong. You mess it up. You're the ones wrong. Right? You're trying to change what is wrong and make it right. And then try to, no, I don't believe. I believe in truth. I don't believe people come over here and change truth and make it fit in the way they think it's supposed to. No, we are a nation under God.
Amen.
Amen. 250 years ago, the founder of this nation, he was a whether white. Doesn't matter. They're the founders. People say, that's so white. I know. I really have a problem. In Africa, there's a lot of blacks. In America, there's a lot of white. I don't know. In Taiwan, a lot of Chinese. I don't know what's wrong. No. You make it about race. No, it was, yes, the founders of this country. Just a month, just a few weeks ago, and this year we're celebrating 250 years of our freedom.
Amen.
Amen. You know, the Chinese build the Transcontinental Railroad. The Filipinos build the ports in the 1600s before they were in America. Right? Hispanics build a lot of agricultural and blacks. Why? Because God's overall purpose, He intertwines it and He weaves it. Yes, there's some difficulty, there's some racism, yet there are some persecutions, but God brought everybody and He weaves it in His plan to create a nation called the United States of America.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Which nation doesn't have a problem?
Yeah.
China? Korea? Russia? Oh, they have more miserable history than us. Africa, where they still practice slavery? Come on. But God brought us here. The Bible says we're created according to His purpose and His destiny. Amen. All things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose. Amen. Just like our life. We messed up in the past. We're Christian. And then we get you. Some Christian girl got pregnant, got married, young, divorced. Or you became an addict. You became whatever. And you think, oh, God has rejected me. God has forgotten me. No! Your past does not determine your future. And God says, doesn't matter what you had in the past, but I will weave it. I will use your bad experiences as a testimony. All things work together for the good of those who love God and call according to His purpose. So He weaves it. He breathes in all good thing about the Bible, every person in the Bible had issues. David was a murderer, an adulterer. You know, Paul was a murderer. Right? Come on! Solomon was a adulterer in chief. Every person in the Bible had history of bad things. Can you imagine if the only people God used in the Bible were all perfect people? Wow! How can you be a Christian if everybody in the Bible were all perfect? But the history of the Bible was full of messed up people that God showed mercy and grace and forgiveness, and God restored them and made them new.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah. Why? Because they were created for a purpose. God has not forgotten them. Though your sins be as scarlet, I will wipe it as white as snow. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Yet America had bad past. But then again, the creation purpose of God for America is to be a beacon and light for the nations. To be a beacon for the gospel. To create, try to carry out His wisdom, His plan to preach the gospel. If not for this great America we have, we will have missionaries going to China. We will have missionaries going to Russia. We will have missionaries going to Europe. You're going to all and preaching the gospel. And now, because of the missionaries that came from America, Africa, Latin America, Asia, have benefited from the missionaries who were launched from America. Amen. Pastor, I don't know what I'm doing here, but I think, you know, sounds good. Amen. Hallelujah. There is an invitation, a prophetic invitation to the church, to men and women in the nation. Doesn't matter what your color is. I tell people, I was at the White House last week at a meeting. I brought another, and then I brought 45 pastors there last week. So that's how, you know, I help bring pastors there to pray. But there's such a reverence for God in the White House. Not everybody's perfect, but there's a reverence for the things of God in the White House. Not because Trump is perfect, but because people that are working there, many of them are believers in Jesus.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
I mean, many of them say, God, I'm here because I want to contend for America, for your purpose for America. That's their prayer. And they get attacked for it. Even Pastor Paula White had 1,000 cases against her for standing for truth. You know, even, you know, secretaries of different agencies, they get sued because they pray. Because they have Bible study. They get sued. Can you imagine? I want to pray. You get sued. What is this people thinking? Right? The prayer will destroy America? But I go encourage them and keep doing it. You know, when we did Rededicate 250, have you heard about the Rededicate America 250? When we had a gathering in Washington, D.C., and the president said we need to rededicate America back to God. First president in history of the world who dedicated his nation to God. First.
Amen.
This guy's not perfect. He never says he's perfect. But at least he wants God to be glorified.
Amen.
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 I've helped when Obama was there, when Clinton was there, when Biden was there,
That was the worst time in my life. 2016, I was appointed by the president as commissioner for Asian Americans. I was there. And I said, God, during his term, first term, man, everybody was talking about God. During Biden's term, they told us not to say anything about God. They stopped every prayer. I said, what was wrong with it? So I tell people, I work with both. I work with different groups. Okay? But as a Christian, this is a political, as a Christian, I will follow leaders that honor Jesus. Who honor Jesus? Like Daniel. Like Joseph. Like Esther. Esther said, I'm fighting for the destiny of my people. If you want to kill me, then if I die, I die. Maybe the White House called me. I don't know. It's Saturday. No, it's Walmart calling me. Forget you, Walmart. Hello. You got medicine. Spend, spend, spend. But you and I, you're in the kingdom. Agape. It doesn't matter how big, how small. The smallest congregation are the boldest people. Congregation. They're contending. Amen. They're fighting.
Yes.
They're courageous. You know, that's why you hang around with, especially Chinese, Taiwanese, Americans. Oh, man. That's why I hang around, my wife and I, we hang around with Tiffany. Because she's fearless.
Yeah, yeah.
And I heard many of you here, you're patriots, you're Christian, you love God, you love a nation. Amen.
Yeah.
You love Israel. Shema Israel Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God is looking for man and woman. If the Bible says his eyes run to and fro, the Spirit of the Lord is hovering, running through and fro throughout the earth. And what he's doing, he's seeking for men, women, young people, old people, women, children, whose heart is faithful and steadfast towards him, that he may show himself strong. Amen. And he uses the less qualified in the eyes of men. And God empowers them, anoints them to do work for the kingdom. So when we did, we dedicate 250. So they called me and said, we need you to mobilize people to come. And I said, you pay people to do it. I said, but they don't know what they're doing. I said, so I called, went to the White House, brought some people. I brought Louis and Cindy Jacobs and others. We had a call with Pastor Paula. And about 2 weeks, they said, you got 2 weeks to mobilize people. 2 weeks! But then again, we knew the purpose of it. We knew that we had to do it, that it was necessary for that to happen, so America would turn back to God and revival would come.
Amen.
It was necessary. If my people call by my name, will humble themselves and pray, will seek the face, his face, turn away from their wicked ways, then I will heal from heaven, and then I will forgive their sins, and I will heal the land. So majority of the churches, they want to go.
They said, well, we don't want to get involved in politics, yada, yada, yada. But when we talked to them, when my friends are praying in the prayer movement, they said, this is what we've been praying for, contending for years. All the prayer meetings we've been doing for 30 years, this is the culmination, the answer to what we prayed for. That a leader will call a nation to repentance. I'll tell people, if you have a problem with Trump, you compare Trump with the people in the Bible. He will look like a saint. Exactly! Right? Murderers, ex-cons, rapists. Not rapists, but more than that. They even kill people. God saves them, transforms them, forgives them. That's the beauty of the mercy of God. Doesn't matter how bad you did in the past. When you ask God for forgiveness, He restores you. Isn't that beautiful mercy? That God doesn't look for anybody perfect. He just simply looks for people who are repentant and willing. Amen. Hallelujah. So here we did, dedicate. We got 2 weeks. So I said, well, let's do it. Mobilize the nation. We send texts, we email, we call people. On that day, we had about 50 to 80,000 people that came in about 100 something degree heat for 9 hours praying and fasting. Open and the presence read 2 Chronicles 7:14 is my people. And the secretary, the Speaker of the House dedicated America to God. I believe it opened the window of heaven for mercy over our land, America.
Amen.
And it changed the trajectory, the direction of our nation. Amen. Because you, my friends, prayed. You cried. You wept. You knelt down and said, God, send us revival. Pour out your mercy upon our nation. God, we, politics can't do it alone. You, Jesus, can turn America back to God. Amen. And God hears your prayers. We contended for the ending of abortion for years. We put lightsaber in our mouth and God, the shedding of innocent blood doesn't matter how politics made it so easy to kill babies. But the Bible is our source. And the Bible says, you cannot, thou shalt not kill. It opened the Pandora's box over America in 1973. They made abortion legal, and it killed 60 million babies, majority of blacks. That's why from 40% population of blacks in America, the black community is now 13% of the population. Why? Because they put every abortion clinic in a black community. Why? Because the founder of Planned Parenthood, her name is Sanger, Maggie Sanger, who was, his idol, her idol was Hitler. He said, blacks, we're cursed. So we have to remove them from the planet. That's why she started the Planned Parenthood. To systematically kill blacks. That's why I tell the black community, are you not worried? Now you're only 13%. And you keep doing that. You from 13%, you'll be 5% in almost annihilation. And they're waking up. Same thing with the Hispanics. Amen. So we pray. And you know what? President Trump appointed 3 justices, conservative, to be on the Supreme Court. And they got appointed, confirmed. As a result, they decided to make
abortion illegal again in America.
Amen.
The victory as a result of our prayers. Of our contending. God is contending for your purpose, for your destiny. Am I not mad at the time when you prayed? Maybe 10 years ago, you said, God, stop abortion. I knew what probably thought, who's going to hear me? Then you wake up, the same thing. But God says He gathers the prayers of the saints. Amen. He hears the cry of the righteous. He defends the cause of the righteous. And the Bible says He collected in heaven in the bowls of incense of God. And when He fills them, when the prayers fill the bowl, God sets it over. God sets it over. He said, because of your prayers, I will show mercy upon your land. And abortion became illegal after 50 plus years. Oh, hallelujah. Now we have to make sure. 1963, they removed the Ten Commandments, prayer out of school. We're contending for that. Amen. That's why you and I are here. That's why the church exists. To partner with God. To say, God, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth. And He says, well, Lord, we can't do it. We're just a little Chinese church somewhere in San Jose. God is not looking for a majority. He never did. In the Bible, He never did. He never said, well, if I could give you a million people, I'll ask you prayers. The Bible says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Call upon me, and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things. Somebody has to contend for this generation. Why? Because more generations are lost. This generation can't even afford, they can't even afford anything. Amen. Education, they're not excelling. No jobs. That's okay. Mama won't take care of me. Daddy won't take care of me. 50-year-old, you still wear a diaper. No, we have to tell this generation, we are passing. We're getting old. We're contending for you. That you will have an America that believes in God. We're doing this for you. We're not doing this for ourselves. And we want to teach you to contend and fight for your generation. Amen. Hallelujah. His eyes are running to and fro on the earth, looking for men and women that will say, God, if you can use anything, you can use me. God, I'm available. God, use me for your purpose. I have a family, a Chinese church that they call me a pastor. Right? In Virginia. They don't have a pastor, so temporarily I'm the pastor. I do it by Zoom. I'll go fly there. I may get, I thought, as long as you feed me after I preach, I'm okay with that. But you know what they do? Every election, they will go to different counties and they will stand in front of precinct and they will pray. And they will go to churches and they will register people to vote. That's what they do. There's about 15 of them. And they knock on doors. And they say, here's a information, who you need to vote for. This person is a Christian, pro-life, and you know, patriot, loves America, and knock on doors. Every election, everything. Amen? do more as a small church compared to a church that has 1,000 people. Why? Because they understand their purpose. Amen. Hallelujah. So don't let anything determine your weakness. Can determine your ability. Your lack of. Don't let it determine your destiny. Amen. We're living in a moment of history. A defining moment in history. This coming 2026 election in midterm is one of the most consequential elections in the history of America. And California. California. You have to be blind enough to see where our great state of California is going. Go to Skid Row. South Central Los Angeles. Have you been there? Anybody been there? Skid Row? How do you like the 40,000 homeless people living in the streets? Peeing, pooping in the street. What is a beautiful state, a city, I mean, and reduce it into a third world city. I'm not saying this, you know, not, I'm talking about this because people, when the moment people don't honor God, the moment when people, leaders, disobey God, the end of it leads to death, destruction. Where there's no vision of God, the city, people, leaders will perish. But it's up for the remnant church like you here to say, God, we will never stop. We will stand in the gap. God is looking for watchmen on the wall. I will say, not on my watch. I'm going to stand in God. I'm going to intercede. I'm going to pray. I'm going to do whatever it takes to move heaven. I'm going to contend. Hallelujah. We got what? 39 more days to go here. Let me go back a little bit to my notes. So that day of identification, we had about 80,000 people. 9 hours in the middle of the heat, stood. My wife and I, another group, we mobilized so many Asians. And the White House told me, you got so many Asians on listing, you're taking over this whole event. And you told me to bring them in, so we brought them in. You probably don't know how to pronounce their names, but man, they love Jesus. And, you know, 500 million people watch it on TV. About 800 million overall watch it and pray together with us. Can you imagine 800 million people that day prayed and watched, joined in? If that, I believe that did something. God changed that future of America because of that. Amen. And because the prayers of the saints. Amen. The prayers, your prayers. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Can we give a little praise for that? Hallelujah. And that's why I'm like John the Baptist. I'm like John the Baptist. You know what I do? I'm really like John the Baptist. Like, not the John the Baptist. And the Bible says before the dreadful day of the Lord returns, he will release the spirit of Elijah. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers and the children. And the hearts of the children back to their fathers. There's a trumpet call in this generation, like that of John the Baptist and Elijah, to turn people back to God. Everywhere I go. And that's why I went to Taiwan for 10 days. We survived. We were fed good. And we rallied the church about 2,000. To cry out to God for Taiwan. Amen. Man, politicians. They are servants. But we are gatekeepers. We the church. We the people.
Amen.
We the people. America is the only country on earth whose system of government is God over man and man over government. In other countries, government over man. That's it. That's why it's called oppression. In America, we only have the same constitution. The world, they have thousands and hundreds of constitutions. Every year, they change. Oh, it doesn't work. The constitution, let's change another constitution. Why? Because our constitution was majority taken from the scriptures. By the founding fathers. With 80% of them were ordained ministers. Signed the Declaration of Independence July 4th, 1776. It says, we are one nation under God. We hold this truth to be self-evident. That all men, there were Chinese already in America at that time, Filipinos were at that time, blacks at that time, Hispanic, that 1776. All men were created equal, endowed by their Creator. With certain unalienable rights. Among these are life. To treasure and honor life. Liberty. Freedom. And the pursuit of happiness. So when I go to the White House, I walk and I weep. For God, let us not miss this opportunity. Let not the church squander this opportunity. Not the people. You're not there for photo op. I get mad whenever they just call and do a photo op and let them do anything. This is an opportunity. President Trump said to me one time, I said, I do this for the church, but where is the church? I'm doing this for you guys, but where are you? We're scared. First time I met him in New York at his office. We went there, at first I didn't like it. His son took us for lunch, and then that's how I like him. He was good food at Trump Tower in New York. I said, my dad been waiting for you, excited to meet you. We're four of us. We walked in, this Asian little Asian guy greeted me. So well, I didn't know that he likes Asians too. Then there were the women, and then blacks, and then minorities worked at the wall. I thought he was a racist. Right? And he said, come on! And he, we sat there in his office, famous office. We talked, and I said, why are you running? I said, why are you running? He said, because we're losing this country. He said, what do you mean? He said, well, I'm a billionaire. He talks that. I build things. I don't have to do this. But I've given chances to everyone. Of both parties. Democrat. Remember, he was a Democrat. I gave a chance to Bill Clinton. Give a chance to Obama. Donated to to Reagan. And everyone. And they promised me they will make our nation great. But they failed. That's why I'm running. Because if we don't do this, we won't have any future for our children. I said, wow, no camera, no nothing, just, and I read, I'm mistaken, you look at old clips of them on Facebook, he speaks the same thing, hasn't changed his message. I said, here's a guy who's not even a Christian, but he loves more America more than the Christians, right? He wasn't a Christian then. I think he wasn't a Christian. I hope maybe, I'm not sure. I prayed for him. I doesn't mean that I was the one who led him, but I prayed for him. And I look at his hair, it looks real. But the Lord spoke to me, this is a man. And he pulled me aside from the top floor and he said, Herman, come over here. Look at those people walking on the streets of New York. I said, what about them? He said, they have more authority than the pastors. I said, why? Mr. Trump, at the time he was president, because they're not afraid to speak the truth. They're not afraid that their 501c3 will be taken away. You guys, you're afraid that your 501c3 will be taken away from you. You can no longer take offering tax. And I said, oh my goodness, I was rebuked by Mr. Trump. That's how I met him. That's how I met him. That's how I joined his campaign. From 2016. Right? Every time I see him, he always just gives me a nudge. he that's a man right there. And sometimes, you know, I mean, I didn't like him at first. You know? But the Lord said, I'm going to use that man. I will show the world that God can use imperfect people. Now, whether we disagree with them or not, you know, that's more personality issue. I know pastors there are more that speak bad words than him. I'm sorry to say that. But we're contending. Does it matter? Sometimes we focus so much on personality of people. Can you imagine if God simply used you if you're perfect? And qualifies you because you're good and you've got money? No! Amen! The Bible says all things work together for what? The good to those who what? Love God and called according to His purpose. Yeah, I'm going to finish this. Give me another hour here.
Just kidding.
Hallelujah. And I'm going to pray with you guys. Family, there is an open invitation like the sons of Issachar. The Bible says the sons of Issachar know the times and seasons. 1 Chronicles 12:32. The sons of Issachar understood the times and knew the seasons and what Israel ought to do. I believe we're living in the times of Issachar. Now we will know the time and the seasons. The Kairos and the Kronos. We're living in the Kairos moment of history. Where God says, this is the appointed time. This is what you prayed for. This is the day when God hears your prayers. After many years, the door is open. This is the Kairos moment.
Amen.
Pursue your destiny. Walk into your calling.
Amen.
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 Amen. Yes, you've been to the Kronos of life. You've been to the difficulty of life. You've lived a long life, not so easy. But then, this is the day when I say, it is time.
Amen.
Your prayers have been heard. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, I think I got more steps now walking. Hallelujah. It's time to pursue the mandate of God. Mark 16:15, go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's mandate. That's the Great Commission. But we focus on that and we fail to fulfill the other one. Matthew 28:19. Go and make disciples of nations. Did you know that the mandate of God has twofold? One, Mark 16:15, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, preach the gospel, have church, do the spiritual stuff, take care of the spiritual life of people. But then, there's a governmental assignment God gave us in Matthew 28:19. He says, go and disciple nations, transform nations, influence nations, raise up leaders. Godly leaders. Raise up men and women in your city, in your school board, your counselors, your mayors,
come 2026? Because your vote will determine who will lead your city. And guess what? The angels will not vote for you. The angels will not. Oh, we pray, angels, go and write my name in the ballot. I don't want to go and vote, but Lord, let the person win. You got the person. I don't want to vote. The angels will vote for me. Nope. In the Old Testament, God appointed people. In the New Testament, they elected the next apostle by casting vote. Right? God is saying, no more laziness for the church. Go into all the world and make disciples. Make disciples of nations. Elect the leaders, righteous leaders. And guess what? Guess what? The ability to change the destiny of cities and nations is the church. The believers is my people. How many of you believe you're part of God's family here? You're His people. He didn't say, if you're unbelievers, no. My people called by my name. You are a chosen race, the Bible says. You are a holy nation, a holy people. Rescued by God out of darkness to His marvelous light. You are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. Do not hide your light. But let your light shine among men that they will see your good works and glorify in heaven, the Father in heaven. What's the purpose of salt if it loses its taste? That you lose your ability to preserve and influence. You know, this is a hard saying, but Jesus taught you. Then you are no good to me. You're worthless. God says, if you don't speak up the truth, if you don't stand for the truth, you're worthless to me. You're no use to me. We need champions. Amen. In the school system, in the high schools, in the colleges of America, we're seeing more and more college students coming to Jesus. In the schools and universities of the nation, to say, we're no longer let our liberal teachers tell us what to do. Teaching of socialism. I ran away from socialism. Why would you go back to socialism? The problem with socialism is that you don't have enough money to give everybody. This guy, an actor, said, oh, I like socialism. I want everybody equal. Everybody share. Everybody no rich. And then the announcer said, don't you have $30 million? Yeah, but that's my money. I don't want to give it away. That's my money. I told you about socialism. Right? Yeah. But you know, let the government distribute the money. Where did the money come from? From the taxpayers. You're a taxpayer, right? Yeah. But this is my money. See the house? It has never worked anywhere. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. I think I'm done here, Pastor. Let me close this moment. Hallelujah. So we need to fight. Because when you contend for purpose, that means you have you're entering a warfare, a spiritual warfare. We need to recognize that delays or obstacles are often spiritual opposition. And we have to stand. Ephesians, having done all to stand, stand. We have to actively align ourselves with the purpose of God. We have to persevere. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's finish it here. person was created by God. The Bible says you were formed in your mother's womb. And before you even were born, He knew you. And He knows the number of your hair. And has created you for a purpose. Purpose is why you were created and what you're called to do. Contending for purpose means to fight. Fight to discover and understand your God-given assignment. Stay faithful to your calling. Resist the enemy. Resist destruction. Resist discouragement. Resist opposition. The Bible says, resist the devil and he what? Must flee. Contending for a purpose means fulfill the work and the assignment God has entrusted to you, your family, your church, for your community, for your city, for your nation, like Nehemiah. Nehemiah contended to rebuild the wall amidst opposition. So you know what Nehemiah did? His right hand was building the wall and his left hand was holding a sword. Isn't that a type? He was holding a sword in one hand, but he was building the wall with his right hand. See, when you are contending for the purpose, there's warfare involved. The Bible says, fear not. Say, fear not. For I have overcome the world. This is not the time for fear. This is not the time to get distracted. You're contending for your destiny, the future outcome, the fulfillment of your purpose, to reach the future God has ordained for you. Overcome every obstacle. Persevere through season of preparation and opposition. Fighting rejection. Fighting abandonment. Fighting loneliness. Fighting isolation. Spiritual confusion. If you live with purpose, those things cannot exist in your life. But if you live with a purpose, then you will walk with purpose, passion. You'll walk with principle. You will not compromise. You'll walk with vision. Amen. And that is what God was to do. He says, He declares the end from the beginning. The good thing about it is that God has been to where you want to go. He already been there. He already has made it complete. He already knows what's going to happen. He declares the end from the beginning. The only thing He doesn't tell us what will happen through the process. Can you imagine if God gave promise to Joseph that you're going to be a king, you're going to be a ruler, and then God showed him, but then you have to go to prison, you have to go to jail. What would Joseph probably say to God? No, thank you. Amen? The same thing with Daniel. Daniel, I'm going to use you. But you have to go be fed to the lions. The only thing about it, Daniel, the lions pray before they eat. Amen. God determines the end. In the end, we are victors. In the end, we overcome. But we, God doesn't show us the process. Right? Hallelujah. He shows us our destiny, but does He show us the process? Because you and I will probably say no. Is anybody else out there? Hello, hello, hello. God, is that really you? Hello. Amen. The Bible says, you know what He does? He gives us comfort. Yes. Amen. Yes. All things are possible to them to believe. Yes. Can you imagine if said Paul, I will use you to preach the gospel to the nations, but Paul, they will kill you. And imprison you. Right? No. Guys, we have to submit to the process because we know God determines our future. God already has our future. Hallelujah. And if we contend for America, we will know that the end of this, the end, we see revival in our nation. In our lives, in our family, in our children. Amen. Sometimes don't worry about when your children runs away from God. God determines their purpose. Just pray. God, we declare, we decree that if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be saved and our household. Amen.
that my family will pursue you. My children will pursue you.
Amen.
Amen. That they will turn our city back to God. And we'll continue to persevere in prayer and align with God and get involved with elections. Amen. In 2016, we distributed 8 million voting guides all across the nation. 80,000 churches. Think about that. 80,000 churches. And there was just Hispanic and Asians. We almost died doing it. We didn't have enough money. You know, when we launched the campaign, we only had 50,000. 50,000 will not even cover one city. But we spent, used our credit cards, used our money. Why? Because we believe that we need to turn America back to God for the sake of the next generation. And we're willing to invest in the next generation. Amen. I led, Pastor, a mobilization of prayer in 22 stadiums in America. 2 times in Washington, D.C. Mall. 500,000 people. Last time we did was October 12, 2024. We have 500,000 women, 1 million women praying together in D.C. And when Louis will ask you, pray, mobilize, how much money? No money. You know this. You know this, when I do it with no money or no money. I do it, God tells me. Like this, you think my wife says, honey, we have to pay mortgage for our church building. Which should I do first? Mortgage or the prayer event? Prayer event! Pastor, we were late by several months for our mortgage, but God said we'll provide, we'll save America, we'll turn America. And God did. How? I don't know how we spent hundreds of thousands. I don't know when the hundreds of thousands of dollars came. But it came. In 2016, the same day, 80 million voted churches, 80,000 churches, knocking doors, a race of volunteers, knocking doors, get us voting guys and everything. And you know what? It turned the election.
Amen.
And you know what? Many of those volunteers of mine were Chinese.
Amen.
The same. We're not going back to communism. We're going to do whatever it takes.
Yes.
I said, don't wear red. When you knock on doors, don't wear red. Because if you're Chinese and you're wearing red, they will think something else. They don't think that you've invaded this city.
No way.
You see, the normal Americans don't know what they have.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. They take their country for granted.
Yeah.
We have been privileged to come here legally and been afforded by the blessings of America.
Yeah.
Stood in line. It's not fair for, honestly, for us to line up for 10 years to get a visa, and then you just cross the line and you get, you jump in, you get paid for breaking the law. It's not fair for Asians. Now, if you are really, if you're really a, you know, I've been to many countries. I've been to countries that are really communist, that are really oppressed. We get exceptions to that, right? But countries like, nothing oppression at all. Mm-hmm. Is that they just misuse and abuse our system. That's not fair. But guess what, my friend? All of us have been here, fought for this country, came here with nothing.
That's right.
Nothing! I had $300 on our name when they came and, became, and came here. Years ago, when I was young, when I many hairs ago. When I was 120 pounds. Now I'm a very well-rounded. But we need to tell Americans who are born here, do not take your nation for granted. exercise freedom, exercise socialism. It doesn't work. Talk to us Asians. We know. We tell you. We tell you.
It doesn't work.
It doesn't work. Amen.
Amen.
I have to tell them in D.C. because they're stubborn. They are so stubborn. Listen, I said, we Asians, this guy said, what are you going to do? Are we going to reform immigration? Do I reform immigration? Have you been through it? No. You're white and you're black. How do you reform immigration? Most of the people walking are brown and yellow. Put Asians there or Hispanics. They don't know how to fight for immigration. You don't know. Guys, we appreciate America more. The land of the free, home of the brave. That's why whenever I get a chance, I cry and I weep. Because some people take it for granted. You know? America. America. God shed his grace on thee. And crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. You know why God brought Asians here? To save America. You know what God brought Chinese, Filipinos, and you guys here? To save America. Why are you here in California? To save California. Why? Because we know how to fight for truth. Amen. We're the true Avengers. We're the true Marvel, right? To fight for truth, for justice. And the American way. Hallelujah. Why? God is raising up a remnant like here in this church. And saying, where are the men? Where are the women that will stand in the gap for my purpose in the earth? And guess what? We are here today at Agape. It says, there is a place for me where my glory can come, where my presence can come, because they're willing and available to do what I call them to do. God will pour out his spirit and use you because you are willing to obey what God called you to do, to turn our nation back to God, to take back what the enemy has taken from us. Amen. And God is saying, where are the men? Where are the Esther? Where are the Nehemiah? Where are the Joseph? Where are those men and women that will say, God, if you can use anything, you can use me. I'm available. I am here for you. Father, pour out your spirit. Pour out your glory. Pour out your presence upon me so that I can do great and mighty things and transform places for your kingdom. I want you to stand on your feet. Hallelujah. Let us see this anointing season for reformers. God is raising up change agents. We need you to reach your generation. Don't underestimate who you are. We need young people. We need women. Let the women Esther arise. Let the Nehemiah arise. And in the midst of persecution, Nehemiah said, I will rebuild the wall. Where are the Daniels that even if they fed to the lions, they say, no, my God will deliver me from the lions. Where are the Joseph that says, what God, what the devil meant for bad, God will use it for your good. Amen.
Amen.
I believe there are men and women that are here today. And every head bowed, every eye closed. If you had somebody play the keyboard here, hallelujah. For such a time as this, you are in the kingdom of God for such a time as this. You are appointed and called by God. Maybe you say, God, I'm not qualified. God is not looking for somebody who is qualified in the eyes of men.
is looking for men and women that will be willing and available for His purpose, for His plan. The Bible says He is the author and the finisher of our faith. And tonight, or this morning, I just want to declare over you. I believe the Lord is saying to you this morning that you have sown in tears. That you have sown in many hard works and pain. And many even have abandoned or said, I'm not going to be part of it. But you stood and said, no. We know what God called us to do. We know what God made us, how God made us. And you persevered. You stood in the gap. And you've lost. But whatever you have lost, God will restore it 100-fold. God will restore it. Your finances, your resources. God's going to expand your territory. Pastor, God's going to expand your influence over the city. It's going to bring leaders. It's going to bring people who are fearless. And God's going to use them to turn this state back to Him. And God's going to raise up a movement in this nation, in this city, of fearless, of nameless, and faceless individuals. God is raising up men and women that would say, God, I'm willing to do what it takes so that your purpose will be accomplished, so your will be done and your kingdom come. And God said, I'm going to ask you a prayer. And the Lord says, there'll be a place, this will be a place of reformation. There'll be a place of renewal. And the Lord says, you're not just going to worship me. You're not just going to praise me. The Lord says, I'm going to send out leaders from this place. And He will occupy places of influence. And that the Lord says, they will influence the policies. They will influence rules. They will influence everything. The Lord says, ordinances in cities. And the Lord says, I will expand your influence. And the Lord will say that even those that have lost family and lost loved ones, because you made the right decision, because you made choices that is contrary to what people think and what people believe. But you said, Lord, I will stand for truth. And if I have to be persecuted, then I, so be it. But the Lord says, I will make sure that you'll be rewarded for your faithfulness. And even those who have abandoned you, they will come to you and say, we were wrong. And God's going to restore what is lost. So Father, just declare that right now. Anyone here, at the sound of my voice, and say, God, this is the season. This is the season, a moment, a Kairos moment, when I want, Lord, to step out and do and finish the work that you have entrusted to me. But I will respond to the call. I will respond, Lord, without even, Lord, sometimes understanding, but Lord, we will walk in faith, not by sight. And if you're here today and you say, God, I want to, Lord, a fresh anointing for government, to influence government, to influence leaders, to influence people in different spheres of society. God, use me for your glory. Use me for your purpose. God, I want to fulfill my destiny. God, I want to fulfill my purpose. If you're that person today, I'm going to pray for you. I'm just going to have the time of impartation. I'm going to count 1, 2, 3. God, I want you to use me for revival, for reformation. I'm going to count 1, 2, 3, and just come to the front so that we can pray. 1, 2, 3. Just come to the front. Come on. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Come, come. Thank you, Lord. More of you. I want more. Jesus, I am thirsty. Won't you come and He's raising up a remnant in here at Agape in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you that, Lord, He will walk in your wisdom and your knowledge and obedience. And, Lord, that He will pursue your call upon His life and redeem and change His generation. Give Him a purpose beyond Himself, Lord. Reveal yourself to Him, Jesus. Lord, not just hear it, but let Him experience your power. Let Him experience your presence. And Lord, we declare, Lord God, that in the next 6 months, the Lord is saying to you that He will reveal Himself to you. Not just head knowledge, not just what you see, but you experience Him, who He is in your life. And God says He's going to give you words to say. God says that He will be a visitation even in the night, in dreams and visions. God's going to reveal Himself to you. And the Lord says, I've called you to be a prophet to the nation. The Lord says that to be a voice for your generation, to turn your generation back to Him, said the Lord. I'm calling you forth. I'm calling you to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to the fathers. That you will be possessed by the zeal of the Lord, that you will run in the zeal of the Lord for your generation, for the purpose of God. I declare over you right now, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Lord, release that upon them. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Fire. Thank you for positioning. God's going to position you for greater things, greater purpose. God, how many of the word is positioning you? For many of you, God is positioning you for a greater purpose. So get ready when God shifts things in your life, in your workplace, in your family, your business, financially. God's going to shift it because God has an assignment that He wants you to finish. So right now we declare that repositioning, that shift in breakthrough. We declare that breakthrough in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Breakthrough in Jesus' name. Amen. And I exalt Thee, you know the song, I exalt Thee, for Thou, O Lord. Any song that you can play. And we all just thank the Lord this evening, this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Just say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Just pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Just pray in the Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. More, more, more. Receive it more. Father, release the travail of the Lord. We need the groanings, release the travail, the cry for the Seventh Day, the cry for revival for California. Let it be, Lord. Let it be the groanings come. Let the groanings, the travail for this city, for this state of California. Can you save California? Fire, 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 fire.
们今天有一些点心啊、哦，就是在我们平常放水果那边有一些点心可以啊，我们祷告完了可以到那里去吃点点心。那也有咖啡有茶啊，我们拿到自己去泡哈、啊，在旁边，在我们的家里厅。如果你们还要愿意待在这里也没有问题哈，就在这里祷告。
如果你对 Pastor Herman 牧师有特别的。